Father, I want to thank you for the precious Word of God. I want to thank you, Lord, for what it does for us as we study it, teaches us, strengthens us, gives us, Lord, direction in life, helps us grow spiritually. Honor you, Seth, this day through this frail body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A little more bass, cut it back a little bit. You got a ring, brother. Take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. While you're turning there, I want you to hold that place. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you while you're turning there. In John chapter 3, I'll read into your hearing. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Acts 16 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us, for he saith, I've heard thee in a time acceptable, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now we'll read Luke chapter 4. Verse 14 through 21. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. It's a known fact from the time he was born. And he went back to Nazareth until the time, no doubt, he began his ministry. He was in the synagogue. It's equivalent to the house of God on the Lord's day. It was his custom, ordinary thing, normal thing to do, to be in the house of God on the Sabbath, or the Lord's Day in our case. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the ministry, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I wonder what they thought. I wonder what went through your mind this morning when I sat down. They were fastened on him. His eyes were fastened on them. And he just sat there. We don't know how long he sat there. But he sat there for a period of time. And gave it time to sink in. Probably a whole lot more time than I did. We're on the radio. And if you get a silence over a few minutes, you get a beep over there on the radio. In verse 21, he began to say unto them, this is the day. This scripture, or this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I want to speak to us this morning while we're here. I believe here we see a good teaching of Christ of why are we here. Now, to some, this may look like an old question. Why are we here? Why do we come to church? Why do we come here to worship God? By the way, if you're here this morning, that's the reason you want to be here. To worship God. Do we come here out of habit? Nothing wrong with that. Jesus went to the synagogue. It's custom to do. It's a habit. Do we come here out of obligation? Do we come here out of a sense of duty? Do we come here because our friends or families will look down on us as a Christian if we don't come here? Do we come here to hear some famous preacher preach? And that's no, that's not so. Do you come here to hear some guest preacher preach? Most of the time it's me or a missionary. And we do have some during the year. Do you come here this morning to hear someone sing? Some professional group? Why do we come? Do we come because, well, it's just good to tell someone Monday morning on the job went to church yesterday? Or do we come because of the Spirit of God that we cannot see, that we cannot touch, somehow takes us like an arm to draw us into the place of worship? Here, God speaks to our heart. Now, I guarantee you if you came because there's a holy urge to say, I need to be in church today. I need to hear what God has to say. Something will be done to your heart. If not, then you'll come and leave like you came. Here, Jesus did something I think is a wonderful thing for us to see. I want to give you 4 points about why we're here. Number one is simply this. God gives us the primary goal in our lives. Your job is not your primary goal. Now, it's a means to an end. But the only thing that's going to count when you and I stand in the presence of God is what we did with the goal He gives. And He gave us a goal as a church body. This church reminds us all that it's the church's goal to do what God says do, and we make up the church, so therefore we must be busy about the Lord's work. This is one of the few scriptures that is repeated about word for word in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. Jesus reads from that portion of scripture. It's interesting. Jesus had just fresh come from the temptation of the devil in the verses before this. He's returned now to Nazareth, the place where He was raised. On the Sabbath, He goes into the place of worship. As He went into the synagogue, the minister headed Him. Something to read. This is a custom. There's different ones read from time to time. Most time it was a type of priest that did it, or a priest. But the minister headed Him. Maybe he did it out of courtesy, or maybe he did it out of spite. I don't know. Maybe he'd heard Him already say some things. Whatever it was, he received the Word of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, everybody who went to synagogue that day didn't have the Word of God. It was there, probably one copy, and when he got it, he stood up to read. Someone handed him a book of the Scriptures. He turned to these exact Scriptures, which previously had been written by Isaiah, something to Israel many years before that, some 715 years before that. It's amazing to me, of all the Scriptures in the Old Testament that he could have read, he picked this one. There must be something here not only for Israel, but for anyone else who would listen to what Jesus had to say. And catch the vision that God set forth in His Son, passed it on to the disciples, and passed it to the church to continue it till Jesus comes back. And here it is. He didn't go to the law of Moses and pick something out there. That would have been a wonderful thing. He didn't go back to the story of creation and pick up for the fall of man. When you look at what he did, it's interesting that he picked these verses. These must be important verses for us to see, even in the age of grace in 2008. He didn't go back to the book of Psalms to encourage someone's heart, the book of Proverbs to encourage and comfort someone. He didn't go to those verses of Scripture. He went to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and half of verse 2. When you see these verses, he went to the Scriptures that speaks to how important the Christian life, I think, can be in this life. This is a prophetic speaking of what he says his life's about. And ladies and gentlemen, if I'm going to be doing what Christ wants me to do, I've got to be doing what he gave to do when he left. That makes sense to me. I don't read the scriptures to try to find out what I want to do. I read the scriptures to try to find out what he wants me to do and ask for the grace and the power to let nothing come between me and what he wants me to do. And that's the way all of us should be when it comes to the things of God. Isaiah 61 gave instruction to the people of Israel. In the chapters before that chapter, Isaiah, he gives Israel comfort and direction. He lets them know that God was their God who protected them and watched over them. He let them know that he delivered them from the hand of bondage. He didn't let them forget what the great, powerful hand of God had did for Israel. And then he gave these wonderful words. And as Isaiah wrote about that history and what God had done for Israel, he was motivated to write these words that would later be repeated by Jesus Christ in the synagogue 715 years later. There's a lot of words he did not repeat, but he repeated this. Must be important. Must be important. So as I look at these words, what does it mean? Number two. Jesus read these words, gave the book back to the minister, and then he sat down. Awesome. Why? What did you feel when you saw me read the scriptures I read about being born again and then sit down? Then I lost my mind. I got tired. I guarantee you wondered, if you didn't have your mind outside somewhere or another, what was I doing? What was the reason for that? I have no reason except to try to illustrate. An atmosphere in that day. Apparently, Jesus felt that the reading of the words found in 18 and 19 from Isaiah were sufficient for the moment. And maybe in a dramatic way, he was trying to show, hey, I've just read to you important scriptures for this day. And when he read about that, he says, now this is the day this scripture is fulfilled. I read to you where Jesus said, you must be born again. Laugh at it, play with it all you want to, but he said, you must be born again. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Whosoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. We know those verses. And he says through Paul, now is the day of salvation. Let me ask it to a world that's lost, what else do they need? But you have to explain it a little bit further. You have to give it a little more, because we're so busy about, quote, education in this world that drowns out the call of God and the calls of Christ, that it has to be told and told and told. I'm amazed how many times I heard the gospel before I got saved. I'm amazed how he'd been a member of the church for 3 years, in every service almost, in the morning especially, that I heard the gospel before I got saved. I bet you heard it many times before you got saved too. First time you put it off, next thing you know, Satan just to give you a little more and a little more, you laugh, you didn't want to go back, or you did go back, or you mocked it, or whatever it was. But there came a day you say, hey, what God said means business. This thing of salvation is more than what I've seen in a lot of people, as far as their lives are concerned. Maybe he wanted those words to just sink in for thought that he just read. Can you imagine the look on their faces as he was sitting there? You mean that he read the scriptures, preacher, and sat down? Yes, sir. Isn't their time worth more than that? I hate to sit down this morning because I took some of my time to preach. But I want to make an issue here, or a confound statement. There are some things, once they're read under the anointing of the Spirit of God, that's all you need. The power of God can do more than you and I can ever do. Either reject or receive. And Jesus sat there for a little bit at this particular time. As he went through, maybe when Jesus sat down, he was saying, this is what you're to be doing. I've read to you what I have been doing, what I am doing. And now, this is what you should be doing. physically and spiritually. He watched everyone as they watched him. It looks like that his sitting down told the people that the prophecy had been fulfilled to them on this day. Now, at the verse 21, Jesus goes on to continue to preach and teach when he said to them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the third question is the topic of the message. Why are we here? Why are we here? Been active and involved in the church is often a frustrating process. Any leader in this church knows, or any church knows, that when you're active in the leadership of the church, teacher or whatever it is, it becomes a frustrating process. First of all, because of Satan's power trying to always keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Frustrated. Yet one can potentially reap a great deal of rewards by serving God when you get frustrated doing it. Because once you get frustrated at doing it, then you're going to allow him to take over. Because you say, Lord, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And he takes over and causes things to happen that you did not even know you had within you as he brought the talent or whatever it was out that was needed. So what else can I do to bring glory and honor and praise to our Lord? So when we are lost in circumstances or in a problem, when we're confused at a particular, you know, a rough church meeting sometime or another, or even a board meeting sometimes, more confused than when we came in and when we went out, and we ask, what am I doing here? Every one of us have done anything for God, have asked that somewhere. What am I doing here? Is it worthwhile? Remember that you are serving God. And whatever happens, if that's where you're at, it's going to be the best for you and for everybody else. Whatever happens, it's going to be the best. We're talking about serving God. And here, these people rejected him and did not do what he said do. And it's been passed on to the church. Watch. How am I to serve God? What am I to do better? Jesus coming to church on Sunday is not enough. Believe me, folks. Just going to church on Sunday is not enough. Where you say amen, oh me, it doesn't make any difference. God wants more than Sunday Christians. He wants every day. He wants our life when we get up, wherever we go, to count for him. And when we go to bed at night and go to sleep, thank him for the day to serve him and to do the jobs that we've did in ourselves, which were means to an end. That we're in turn, if we sleep a good night that night with the protecting hand of God, when we get up the next morning, we're going to get up with him and walk through the day with him. That's important in our lives. So why are we here? I'll tell you this. How can I give him my best? How can I give him more glory? How can I do God justice? Well, I believe that Jesus gives us a clue in these words here from Isaiah. This is for those who wants to advance the kingdom of God, who wants to serve Jesus Christ, who wants to make an impact on this world for Jesus Christ, even though they may be a problem for them. Jesus tells us how to live a sermon in our daily lives in these verses. Whatever you do, God has a plan for you. Whatever you do, God has a plan for you and for me. You just have to pray and listen for his directions as you study and hear and read the Word of God. And that leads to the last point. Most of the time, the people who work in the church are often the life of the church that Christ's life flows through. It takes the support of good people dedicated in service to God in order to make a church thrive and flourish. It takes that because it is not our energy. It's God's energy. It's got to be seen. And sometimes, because in humans, we have to use each other for checks and balances. And God will do that. Many times he's done that in my life. People who help the pastor and get the gospel out, that's another thing of preaching. Everyone here supports this church, helps to do just that. Heal the brokenhearted, deliver the captive, restore sight, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, help the spirit of the fallen. That's physically and spiritually. You say, but I understand physically. How's it come about spiritually? Well, to heal the brokenhearted is to see him saved spiritually. To deliver the captive, to see him delivered from hell spiritually. to restore the sight, it's much better to have spiritual sight than just have your physical sight given back, even though that's a glorious thing. When you talk about feeding the hungry, then when you and I got saved, there should have been a spiritual appetite awakened in us for the Word of God that you and I just could not keep from gudging ourselves. And that's the Johnson County word, gudging ourselves. Amen. Just something about it. You see, folks, let's face it. Let's be honest. We just entered Christianity by faith and stay around the door instead of really moving inside where we should be at in the service of God as human beings. There are so many ways that we can fulfill these scriptures. Those who work to advance the cause of the building of God's kingdom. When no one else is looking but God. When you and I work to advance the kingdom of God. Now there's advancement within the church that people must see the church working out. Because the church is made up of the saints of God. And when you're not working through a church, you're not as effective because God set the church. Don't you know if God didn't need the church to be set up, He'd never set it up? You know, Christ would have never set the church up if it wasn't necessary. It is the church that's set up that does it, and then God gets the glory. If I do it myself without the church, I'm trying to get the glory. Oh, me. Am I at a different place this morning than Fellowship Baptist Church? You see what I'm saying? You see what Christ is saying? This scripture is fulfilled in me, He says, at this particular time. Again, when you think about clothing the naked and help the spirit of the fallen, that also is to help person grow in grace and knowledge and clothing God's righteousness. There are so many ways that we can fulfill these scriptures. Sometimes we feel that our work affects nobody. And our work is in vain. If you've got a head to do anything for Christ, you felt that sometime or another. You felt like your work was absolutely in vain. No one really cared. I've got news for you. Anytime you and I do anything for God, He cares. And He notices. And He's going to reward it one of these days. So don't give up. But your work for God does not go unappreciated. When we feel no one is working with us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is always working in and with us for His purpose in our life, for His glory. Wednesday night we're studying John 17. We see that word glory coming up a lot as Jesus talks about that He's going to glorify the Father now for Him to restore that glory that He had set aside when He came as a human being. Why? Listen to me. Listen, please. In Jesus' name, listen to me. Why would someone allow himself to come to this earth who was a sinless individual, be killed by the hands of wicked men, be buried, and raised again the third day, and not continue to assist the very people that He calls after He saved them to be service to Him? Why would He leave us helpless when He did all that to save us and then call us to serve Him? And when we serve Him, ladies and gentlemen, this is the thing that He gives us the power and direction to do. This here is what Jesus is doing to serve God. He said that scripture was mentioned 715 years ago. But I want you to know it is affected now. His ministry is just fixing to take off at this particular time, you see. I know that it's not an easy job to be a good Christian. Maybe I should say not a good, but a holy Christian. By the way, do you know there is such a thing as a holy Christian? Now, the new creation is holy. But the world can see an outward manifestation of you and I. Sometimes it seems easier just to give up and go home than to continue on. But hear me, folks, there is a Father in heaven who sees and knows your heart and He knows your step. We have one sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I, guiding us, directing us, letting us know that our work is not in vain when He is the center. There's no need to be sad when He's the center. There's no need to be down when He's the center. There's no need not to have a smile when He's the center. The reason that we're down, the reason we have no smile, the reason the world seems to be going to pot is because He must not be the center. Well, He's the center. There's a peace, there's a joy in our heart that the world cannot take away. Nail them to a cross. Give them to the animals. Burn them to the stake. Still have a joy in their heart the world cannot take away. And Jesus said, here, God's called me to do this. This is fulfilled. Now, for this to be completely fulfilled, he's got to go to Calvary. He's got 3.5 years left before he gets there. In his ministry at this time, sometimes it seems easier just to give up. We have the Holy Spirit who helps us give our best when we feel our worst. The Trinity helps us to continue on in our lives. Folks, aren't you glad of that? There's not a one in here that's doing anything for God when already quit hadn't been for the Holy Ghost living in you and me. I'll tell you what's true. If the one in here hadn't said, would you work at it wherever you had, you try to live a Christian life and Satan gives you such a hard time, you say, Lord, I don't see why someone as weak as he is and as powerful as you are, I'm having the time I'm having. Just the fact he's still there, though, gives us strength. The answer as to why we're here is simple. God wants us to be here, not just taking up ground, but producing. Every one of us have the call of God with a gift. I don't know what it is, but he will manifest it if you surrender to him for that. He has made it possible at this time and place to do what you are destined to do. Even the little things that might seem nothing for him are important. I don't know how many times, preacher, I just wish I could do something. I don't have any time. Do what you can. It's important. It's important. The work that you do for him is valuable. The work that you do for him is worthwhile. The work that you do for him is important. The good news is this. There was a man that was born in Bethlehem called Jesus who was taken from there to Nazareth to raise up. Here he read the scriptures at this day when he was a young man, about 30 years old. Later he died on a cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave. I'm telling you this morning about a man that's different than any other man that's ever lived. Glory to God. Praise his holy name. He's not just like you and I, but he's made us something we cannot make ourselves. He's made us to be called children of God. I'm not talking about ordinary man, though he was a man. Died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave, and went back to the Father, and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession sessions for you and I. Puny little man. The Son of God is making intercessions for us. When we try our best to do what we do. The good news is that death could not hold Jesus Christ. The good news is that death cannot hold Jesus Christ. And the good news is that death cannot hold you and I who are in Him. There's no reason why we should be sad. Sometimes tears flow in, not because we're sad in the world. It's just the fact that sometimes we have to let pressure be relieved so the joy can be felt in a physical body. There is hope in Him. There is understanding in Him. There is love in Him. So when you come to that point where you're not sure of what you're doing, and you come to that point that you're not doing enough, or you're not sure that you're truly giving God your best, let me tell you to do what was done here. Though it was handed to him, you grab your Bible and you read Luke 4 verse 18 and see what Jesus did and see what Jesus said and have a heart for people like he said here to do. Why are we here? To go, to preach the gospel. That people may know that Jesus Christ was sent for what? To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are buried. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Why are we here? To carry that same work on until Jesus comes. Our story engulfs all of those. When we preach the gospel of Christ, understanding His death, burial, and His resurrection, makes it all possible. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it a wonderful thing that you and I can exalt Jesus Christ, and in so doing, they can just come as they are. In the Old Testament, they had to go get a lamb. They had to set him aside. They had to take him and do all that stuff. When he brought it to the priest, he had to be without spot. And then the priest had to go through all that blood sacrifice mess, which was important in the Old Covenant. All we do is say, Jesus can do for you what no one else can do. Come to him. Come to him. Come to him. Come to him. He'll do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And if you'll come to him, if you'll come to him, he will save your soul. You say, but preacher, I wish it was that easy. It is that easy. Don't make it complicated. It costs God everything. And he offers to us. Why are we here? That we might examine what Jesus said he was called to do. And this was fulfilled in him. And he passed it to his disciples. And the disciples passed it on to the church as the Holy Spirit gave the instructions. Why are we here? To carry on his work. What is his work? Just one place in Luke 19. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't it an amazing thing? There's people, got him doing everything in the world. Make you rich. You know, do everything and claim it, name it and claim it. The only reason Christ came. Now, grant you, once you know him as Savior, there's many things that comes to us as we trust him and believe him and ask for. Because he teaches us to do that. But the only reason Jesus Christ came, he loved this world like his Father. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Isn't it an amazing thing, though, when people hear that? Most people will tell you, well, that's not my bag, not my religion. It's not what I believe. That's just somebody who's got a little egotistical direction and trying to get people to follow him. Folks, you better not follow me unless I'm following Christ. Because he's the only one to get out of this world. He's the only one going to help us. And I believe here, he said, God sent me for this. He told you 715 years before I was coming. I'm coming the day this scripture is fulfilled. Stand to our feet. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for our church has a burden for lost people. Please don't ever let us lose it. Lord, we got a wonderful body of believers here who has a lot of different callings, a lot of different gifts. And there comes important moments in life when God reaches and we see those gifts function. Sometimes it's some you rise up higher into the organization of the church to lead the church as a body of believers. And then, Lord, you have others who just say, Lord, I don't know if I can do anything other than take the money up and usher. I don't know if Lord, just, I want to be used of you. And then there comes emergency in the church and God's people go through that. Say, what can I do? Lord, I don't believe a meal that's ever cooked for someone else by anyone in our church goes unnoticed by you. I don't believe a gift that's given goes unnoticed. God uses people to bless people. God uses people to encourage other people. I'm amazed, Lord. Lord, I'm so amazed that sometimes you'll lead Barbara and I to go to someone to try to encourage them because of a tragedy. And when we leave, you've encouraged us. Well, I don't understand how that works, but it works. Help us be available. Our Father, we got the next. We're going to have a camp meeting here we've had for years. Don't let it be like anything else we've ever had. Holy Spirit, may I and every member here be prayed up. May every person say, Lord, I don't have much of a talent. What I've got, I'm going to give to you. I may stand at the door and just greet people. Let me have a smile on my face. Might be somebody who walked down the aisle who for praying. You touch the heart because I'm so geared in on you to go down and just pray with them. Might be someone I see weeping in the pew and I slide over and put an arm around them and say, my brother, sister, would you let me just pray with you? God, keep our eyes focused on you, not on ourselves. Lord, we see ourselves too much. We do too much for ourselves and leave you out. Help us see what Jesus is saying here as he read these scriptures. Let us be busy about that this week, from the next week, and this week, but especially next week, as these preachers and evangelists and missionaries and wives come across the country here. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for what you did in my heart when we came here years ago and put this burden in my heart. I remember when Barbara and I went and sat in a pew of a church that did what we were doing. And not many churches did that until recently. We started here about 12 years ago. And I asked you to give us a place, and you have some people who love you and care for you and care for preachers. I believe that's one of the reasons preachers say this is one of the best places of preaching they've seen. Certainly they're better, I'm sure, other places, but they've seen. Because our people are so receptive. I thank you for that. I don't know if anything makes a pastor feel any prouder of his people than when people leave and they say things like that. That means our people are attentive. Honor yourself today. Help us in our hearts to be what we need to be week after next. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.